From Oathbringer, Preface. Kaladin trudged through a field of quiet rock buds, fully aware that he was too late to prevent a disaster. His failure pressed down on him with an almost physical sensation, like the weight of a bridge he was forced to carry all on his own. After so long in the eastern part of the Stormlands, he had nearly forgotten the sights of a fertile landscape. Rock buds here grew almost as big as barrels, with vines as thick as his wrist spilling out and lapping water from the pools on the stone. Fields of vibrant green grass pulled back into burrows before him, easily 3 feet tall when standing at height. The field was dappled with glowing life-spren, like motes of green dust. The grass back near the shattered plains had barely reached as high as his ankle, and had mostly grown in yellowish patches on the leeward side of hills. He was surprised to find that he distrusted this taller, fuller grass. An ambusher could hide in that, by crouching down and waiting for the grass to rise back up. How had Kaladin never noticed? He'd run through fields like this, playing catch-me with his brother, trying to see who was quick enough to grab handfuls of grass before it hid. Kaladin felt drained, used up. 4 days ago he'd traveled by Oathgate to the Shattered Plains, then flown to the northwest at speed. Filled to bursting with stormlight and carrying a wealth more in gemstones, he'd been determined to reach his home, Hearthstone, before the Everstorm returned. After just half a day, he'd run out of stormlight somewhere in Aladar's princedom. He'd been walking ever since. Perhaps he could have flown all the way to Hearthstone if he'd been more practiced with his powers. As it was, he'd traveled over 1,000 miles in half a day, but this last bit, 90 or so miles, had taken an excruciating 3 days. He hadn't beaten the Everstorm. It had arrived earlier in the day, around noon. Kaladin noticed a bit of debris peeking out of the grass, and he trudged toward it. The foliage obligingly pulled back before him, revealing a broken wooden churn, the kind used for turning sow's milk into butter. Kaladin crouched and rested fingers on the splintered wood, then glanced toward another chunk of wood peeking out over the tops of the grass. Sill zipped down as a ribbon of light, passing his head and spinning around the length of wood. "It's the edge of a roof," Kaladin said. "The lip that hangs down on the leeward side of a building. Probably from a storage shed, judging by the other debris." Alethkar wasn't in the harshest of the Stormlands, but neither was this some soft-skinned western land. Buildings here were built low and squat. Sturdy sides pointed eastward toward the origin, like the shoulder of a man set and ready to take the force of an impact. Windows would only be on the leeward, the westward, side. Like the grass and the trees, humankind had learned to weather the storms. That depended on storms always blowing in the same direction. Kaladin had done what he could to prepare the villages and towns he passed for the coming Everstorm, which would blow in the wrong direction and transform Parshmen into destructive Voidbringers. Nobody in those towns had possessed working span reeds, however, and he'd been unable to contact his home. He hadn't been fast enough. Earlier today, he'd spent the Everstorm within a tomb he'd hollowed out of rock using his shard blade, Syl herself, who could manifest as any weapon he desired. In truth, the storm hadn't been nearly as bad as the one where he'd fought the assassin in white. But the debris he found here proved that this one had been bad enough. The mere memory of that red storm outside his hollow made panic rise inside him. The Everstorm was so wrong, so unnatural, like a baby born with no face. Some things just should not be. He stood up and continued on his way. He had changed uniforms before leaving. His old uniform had been bloodied and tattered. He now wore a spare generic Colin uniform. It felt wrong not to bear the symbol of Bridge 4. He crested a hill and spotted a river to his right. Trees sprouted along its banks, hungry for the extra water. That would be Hobble's Brook. So if he looked directly west, hand shading his eyes, he could see hills that had been stripped of grass and rock buds. They'd soon be slathered with seed creme, and lavis polyps would start to bud. That hadn't started yet. This was supposed to be the weeping. Rain should be falling now in a constant, gentle shower. Syl zipped up in front of him, a ribbon of light.
"Your eyes are brown again," she noted.
It took a few hours without summoning his shard blade. Once he did that, his eyes would bleed to a glassy light blue, almost glowing. Syl found the variation fascinating. Kaladin still hadn't decided how he felt about it.
"We're close," Kaladin said, pointing.
"Those fields belong to Hobblekin. We're maybe 2 hours from Hearthstone."
"Then you're home,"
Syl said, her ribbon of light spiraling and taking the shape of a young woman in a flowing hava, tight and buttoning above the waist, with safe hand covered. Kaladin grunted, walking down the slope, longing for stormlight. Being without it now, after holding so much, was an echoing hollowness within him. Was this what it would be like every time he ran dry? The Everstorm hadn't recharged his spheres, of course, neither with stormlight nor some other energy, which he'd feared might happen.
"Do you like the new dress?"
Syl asked, wagging her covered safe hand as she stood in the air. "Looks strange on you."
"I'll have you know I put a ton of thought into it. I spent positively hours thinking of just how... Oh, what's that?"
She turned into a little storm cloud that shot toward a lurg clinging to a stone. She inspected the fist-size amphibian on one side, then the other, before squealing in joy and turning into a perfect imitation of the thing, except pale white-blue. This startled the creature away, and she giggled, zipping back toward Kaladin as a ribbon of light.
"What were we saying?"
she asked, forming into a young woman and resting on his shoulder.
"Nothing important." "I'm sure I was scolding you." "Oh, yes. You're home. Yay! Aren't you excited?"
She didn't see it, didn't realize. Sometimes, for all her curiosity, she could be oblivious.
"But it's your home,"
Syl said. She huddled down.
"What's wrong?"
"The Everstorm, Syl," Kaladin said. "We were supposed to beat it here." He'd needed to beat it here. Surely someone would have survived, right? The fury of the storm, and then the worse fury after? The murderous rampage of servants turned into monsters? Oh, Stormfather, why hadn't he been faster? He forced himself into a double march again, pack slung over his shoulder. The weight was still heavy, dreadfully so, but he found that he had to know, had to see. Someone had to witness what had happened to his home. The rain resumed about an hour out of Hearthstone, so at least the weather patterns hadn't been completely ruined. Unfortunately, this meant he had to hike the rest of the way wet. He splashed through puddles where rainspren grew, blue candles with eyes on the very tip.
"It will be all right, Kaladin," Syl promised from his shoulder.
She'd created an umbrella for herself and still wore the traditional Vorin dress instead of her usual girlish skirt.
"You'll see."
The sky had darkened by the time he finally crested the last lavice hill and looked down on Hearthstone. He braced himself for the destruction, but it shocked him nonetheless. Some of the buildings he remembered were simply gone. Others stood without roofs. He couldn't see the entire town from his vantage, not in the gloom of the weeping, but many of the structures he could make out were hollow and ruined. He stood for a long time as night fell. He didn't spot a glimmer of light in the town. It was empty. Dead. A part of him scrunched up inside, huddling into a corner, tired of being whipped so often. He'd embraced his power, he'd taken the path of a radiant. Why hadn't it been enough? His eyes immediately sought out his own home on the outskirts of town. But no. Even if he'd been able to see it in the rainy evening gloom, he didn't want to go there. Not yet. He couldn't face the death he might find. Instead, he rounded Hearthstone on the northwestern side, where a hill led up to the City Lord's Manor. The larger rural towns like this served as a kind of hub for the small farming communities around them. Because of that, Hearthstone was cursed with the presence of a light-eyed ruler of some status. Bright Lord Rishon, a man whose greedy ways had ruined far more than one life. Moash, Kaladin thought as he trudged up the hill toward the manor, shivering in the chill and the darkness. He'd have to face his friend's betrayal and near assassination of Elokar at some point. For now, he had more pressing wounds that needed tending. The manor was where the town's parchmen had been kept. They'd have begun their rampage here. He was pretty sure that if he ran across Rishon's broken corpse, he wouldn't be too heartbroken.
"Wow," Syl said. "Gloomspren."
Kaladin looked up and noted an unusual spren whipping about. Long, gray, like a tattered streamer of cloth in the wind. It wound around him, fluttering. He'd seen its like only once or twice before. "Why are they so rare?" Kaladin asked. "People feel gloomy all the time."
"Who knows?" Syl said. "Some spren are common, some are uncommon."
She tapped his shoulder.
"I'm pretty sure one of my aunts liked to hunt these things."
"Hunt them?" Kaladin asked. "Like, try to spot them?"
"No, like you hunt great shells." "Can't remember her name."
Syl cocked her head, oblivious to the fact that rain was falling through her form.
"She wasn't really my aunt, just an honor spren I referred to that way. What an odd memory."
"More seems to be coming back to you."
"The longer I'm with you, the more it happens. Assuming you don't try to kill me again."
She gave him a sideways look. Though it was dark, she glowed enough for him to make out the expression. "How often are you going to make me apologize for that?"
"How many times have I done it so far?"
"At least 50.
"Liar," Syl said. "Can't be more than 20.
"I'm sorry." Wait, was that light up ahead? Kaladin stopped on the path. It was light, coming from the manor house. It flickered unevenly. Fire? Was the manor burning? No, it seemed to be candles or lanterns inside. Someone, it appeared, had survived. Humans are void bringers. He needed to be careful, though as he approached, he found that he didn't want to be. He wanted to be reckless, angry, destructive. If he found the creatures that had taken his home from him. "Be ready," he mumbled to Syl. He stepped off the pathway, which was kept free of rock buds and other plants, and crept carefully toward the manor. Light shone between boards that had been pounded across the building's windows, replacing glass that the Everstorm undoubtedly broke. He was surprised the manor had survived as well as it had. The porch had been ripped free, but the roof remained. The rain masked other sounds, and made it difficult to see much beyond that, but someone or something was inside. Shadows moved in front of the lights. Heart pounding, Kaladin rounded toward the northern side of the building. The servants' entrance would be here, along with the quarters for the parchmen. An unusual amount of noise came from inside the manor house. Thumping, motion, like a nest full of rats. He had to feel his way through the gardens. The parchmen had been housed in a small structure built in the manor's shadow with a single open chamber and benches for sleeping. Kaladin reached it by touch and felt a large hole ripped in the side. Scraping came from behind him. Kaladin spun as the back door of the manor opened, its warped frame grinding against stone. He dove for cover behind a shale bark mound, but light bathed him, cutting through the rain. A lantern. Kaladin stretched his hand to the side, prepared to summon Syl, yet the person who stepped from the manor was no Voidbringer, but instead a human guardsman in an old helm spotted by rust. The man held up his lantern.
"Here now!"
he shouted at Kaladin, fumbling at the mace on his belt.
"Here now, you there!"
He pulled free the weapon and held it out in a quivering hand.
"What are you, deserter? Come here into the light and let me see you."
Kaladin stood up warily. He didn't recognize the soldier, but either someone had survived the Voidbringer assault or this man was part of an expedition investigating the aftermath. Either way, it was the first hopeful sign Kaladin had seen since arriving. He held his hands up, he was unarmed, save for Syl, and let the guard bully him into the building. 6. 4 lifetimes. I thought that I was surely dead. Certainly some who saw farther than I did thought I had fallen. From Oathbringer, Preface. Kaladin stepped into Roshon's manor, and his apocalyptic visions of death and loss started to fade as he recognized people. He passed Haravi, one of the town's many farmers, in the hallway. Kaladin remembered the man as being enormous, with thick shoulders. In actuality, he was shorter than Kaladin by half a hand, and most of Bridge Four could have outmatched him for muscles. Taravi didn't seem to recognize Kaladin. The man stepped into a side chamber which was packed with dark eyes sitting on the floor. The soldier walked Kaladin along the candlelit hallway. They passed through the kitchens, and Kaladin noted dozens of other familiar faces. The townspeople filled the manor, packing every room. Most sat on the floor in family groups, and while they looked tired and disheveled, they were alive. Had they rebuffed the Voidbringer assault, then? My parents, Kaladin thought, pushing through a small group of townspeople and moving more quickly. Where were his parents?
Whoa there,
said the soldier behind, grabbing Kaladin by the shoulder. He shoved his mace into the small of Kaladin's back.
Don't make me down you, son.
Kaladin turned on the guardsman, a clean-shaven fellow with brown eyes that seemed set a little too close together. That rusted cap was a disgrace.
Now, the soldier said, we're just going to go find Bright Lord Roshon, and you're going to explain why you were skulking round the place. Act real nice, and maybe he won't hang you. Understand?
The townspeople in the kitchens noticed Kaladin finally and pulled away. Many whispered to one another, eyes wide, fearful. He heard the words deserter, slave brands, dangerous. Nobody said his name.
They don't recognize you?
Syl asked as she walked across a kitchen countertop. Why would they recognize this man he had become? Kaladin saw himself reflected in a pan hanging beside the brick oven. Long hair with a curl to it, the tips resting against his shoulders. A rough uniform that was a shade too small for him, face bearing a scruffy beard from several weeks without shaving. Soaked and exhausted, he looked like a vagabond. This wasn't the homecoming he'd imagined during his first months at war. A glorious reunion where he returned as a hero wearing the knots of a sergeant, his brother delivered safe to his family. In his fancies, people had praised him, slapped him on the back, and accepted him. Idiocy. These people had never treated him or his family with any measure of kindness.
Let's go, the soldier said, shoving him on the shoulder.
Kaladin didn't move. When the man shoved harder, Kaladin rolled his body with the push, and the shift of weight sent the guard stumbling past him. The man turned, angry. Kaladin met his gaze. The guard hesitated, then took a step back and gripped his mace more firmly.
Wow, Syl said, zipping up to Kaladin's shoulder. That is quite the glare you gave.
Old sergeant's trick, Kaladin whispered, turning and leaving the kitchens. The guard followed behind, barking an order that Kaladin ignored. Each step through this manor was like walking through a memory. There was the dining nook where he'd confronted Rilla and Laro on the night he'd discovered his father was a thief. This hallway beyond, hung with portraits of people he didn't know, had been where he'd played as a child. Roshon hadn't changed the portraits. He'd have to talk to his parents about Tien. It was why he hadn't tried to contact them after being freed from slavery. Could he face them? Storms, he hoped they lived, but could he face them? He heard a moan, soft, underneath the sounds of people talking. Still, he picked it out.
There were wounded? He asked, turning on his guard. Yeah, the man said, but...
Kaladin ignored him and strode down the hallway, Syl flying along beside his head. Kaladin shoved past people, following the sounds of the tormented, and eventually stumbled into the doorway of the parlor. It had been transformed into a surgeon's triage room, with mats laid out on the floor bearing wounded. A figure knelt by one of the pallets, carefully splinting a broken arm. Kaladin had known as soon as he'd heard those moans of pain where he'd find his father. Liren glanced at him. Storms. Kaladin's father looked weathered, bags underneath his dark brown eyes. The hair was grayer than Kaladin remembered, the face gaunter. But he was the same. Balding, diminutive, thin, bespectacled, and amazing.
"What's this?" Liren asked, turning back to his work. "Did the High Prince's house send soldiers already? That was faster than expected. How many did you bring? We can certainly use..." Liren hesitated, then looked back at Kaladin. Then his eyes opened wide. "Hello, father," Kaladin said.
The guardsman finally caught up, shouldering past gawking townspeople and waving his mace toward Kaladin like a baton. Kaladin sidestepped absently, then pushed the man so he stumbled farther down the hallway.
"It is you," Liren said.
Then he scrambled over and caught Kaladin in an embrace.
"Oh, Cal, my boy, my little boy. Hesina! Hesina!"
Kaladin's mother appeared in the doorway a moment later, bearing a tray of freshly boiled bandages. She probably thought that Liren needed her help with a patient. Taller than her husband by a few fingers, she wore her hair tied back with a kerchief, just as Kaladin remembered. She raised her gloved safe hand to her lips, gaping, and the tray slipped down in her other hand, tumbling bandages to the floor. Shockspren, like pale yellow triangles breaking and reforming, appeared behind her. She dropped the tray and reached to the side of Kaladin's face with a soft touch. Syl zipped around in a ribbon of light, laughing. Kaladin couldn't laugh. Not until it had been said. He took a deep breath, choked on it the first time, then finally forced it out.
"I'm sorry, father, mother," he whispered. "I joined the army to protect him, but I could barely protect myself."
He found himself shaking, and he put his back to the wall, letting himself sink down until he was seated.
"I let Tian die. I'm sorry. It's my fault." "Oh, Kaladin,"
Hesina said, kneeling down beside him and pulling him into an embrace.
"We got your letter, but over a year ago they told us you had died as well." "I should have saved him,"
Kaladin whispered.
"You shouldn't have gone in the first place," Liren said. "But now, almighty, now you're back."
Liren stood up, tears leaking down his cheeks.
"My son! My son is alive!"
A short time later, Kaladin sat among the wounded, holding a cup of warm soup in his hands. He hadn't had a hot meal since... when?
"That's obviously a slave's brand, Liren," a soldier said, speaking with Kaladin's father near the doorway into the room. "Sosglyph. So it happened here in the princedom. They probably told you he'd died to save you the shame of the truth. And then the Shashbrand. You don't get that for mere insubordination."
Kaladin sipped his soup. His mother knelt beside him, one hand on his shoulder, protective. The soup tasted of home. Boiled vegetable broth with steamed lavas stirred in, spiced as his mother always made it. He hadn't spoken much in the half hour since he'd arrived. For now, he just wanted to be here with them. Strangely, his memories had turned fond. He remembered Tian laughing, brightening the dreariest of days. He remembered hours spent studying medicine with his father, or cleaning with his mother. Syl hovered before his mother, still wearing her little haba, invisible to everyone but Kaladin. The Spren had a perplexed look on her face.
"The Rongwei High Storm did break many of the town's buildings," Hesina explained to him softly. "But our home still stands. We had to dedicate your spot to something else, Cal. But we can make space for you."
Kaladin glanced at the soldier, captain of Rishon's guard. Kaladin thought he remembered the man. He almost seemed too pretty to be a soldier, but then he was light-eyed.
"Don't worry about that," Hesina said. "We'll deal with it, whatever the trouble is. With all these wounded pouring in from the villages around, Rishon will need your father's skill. Rishon won't go making a storm and risk Liren's discontent. And you won't be taken from us again."
She talked to him as if he were a child. What a surreal sensation, being back here, being treated like he was still the boy who had left for war 5 years ago. Three men bearing their son's name had lived and died in that time. The soldier who had been forged in Amaram's army. The slave, so bitter and angry. His parents had never met Captain Kaladin, bodyguard to the most powerful man in Roshar. And then, there was the next man. The man he was becoming. A man who owned the skies and spoke ancient oaths. 5 years had passed, and 4 lifetimes.
"He's a runaway slave," the guard captain hissed. "We can't just ignore that, surgeon. He probably stole the uniform. And even if for some reason he was allowed to hold a spear despite his brands, he's a deserter. Look at those haunted eyes and tell me you don't see a man who has done terrible things."
"He's my son," Liren said. "I'll buy his writ of slavery. You're not taking him. Tell Rishon he can either let this slide or he can go without a surgeon. Unless he assumes Mara can take over after just a few years of apprenticeship."
Did they think they were speaking softly enough that he couldn't hear?
"Look at the wounded people in this room, Kaladin. You're missing something."
The wounded. They displayed fractures, concussions, very few lacerations. This was not the aftermath of a battle, but of a natural disaster. So what had happened to the Voidbringers? Who had fought them off?
"Things have gotten better since you left," Hesina promised Kaladin, squeezing his shoulder. "Rishon isn't as bad as he once was. I think he feels guilty. We can rebuild. Be a family again. And there's something else you need to know about. We..."
"Hesina," Liren said, throwing his hands into the air.
"Yes?"
"Write a letter to the High Prince's administrators," Liren said. "Explain the situation. See if we can get a forbearance, or at least an explanation."
He looked to the soldier.
"Will that satisfy your master? We can wait upon a higher authority, and in the meantime I can have my son back."
"We'll see," the soldier said, folding his arms. "I'm not sure how much I like the idea of a Shash-branded man running around my town."
Hesina rose to join Liren. The two had a hushed exchange as the guard settled back against the doorway, pointedly keeping an eye on Kaladin. Did he know how little like a soldier he looked? He didn't walk like a man acquainted with battle. He stepped too hard and stood with his knees too straight. There were no dents in his breastplate, and his sword's scabbard knocked against things as he turned. Kaladin sipped his soup. Was it any wonder that his parents still thought of him as a child? He'd come in looking ragged and abandoned, then had started sobbing about Tien's death. Being home brought out the child in him, it seemed. Perhaps it was time for once to stop letting the rain dictate his mood. He couldn't banish the seed of darkness inside him. But Stormfather, he didn't need to let it rule him, either. Syl walked up to him in the air.
"They're like I remember them."
"Remember them?" Kaladin whispered. "Syl, you never knew me when I lived here."
"That's true,"
she said.
"So how can you remember them?" Kaladin said, frowning.
"Because I do,"
Syl said, flitting around him.
"Everyone is connected, Kaladin. Everything is connected. I didn't know you then, but the winds did. And I am of the winds."
"Your honor, Spren."
"The winds are of honor," she said, laughing as if he'd said something ridiculous. "We are kindred blood."
"You don't have blood."
"And you don't have an imagination, it appears."
She landed in the air before him and became a young woman.
"Besides, there was..." another voice, pure, with a song like tapped crystal, distant yet demanding.
She smiled and zipped away. Well, the world might have been upended, but Syl was as impenetrable as ever. Kaladin set aside his soup and climbed to his feet. He stretched to one side, then the other, feeling satisfying pops from his joints. He walked toward his parents. Storms, but everyone in this town seemed smaller than he remembered. He hadn't been that much shorter when he'd left Hearthstone, had he? A figure stood right outside the room, speaking with the guard with the rusty helmet. Rishon wore a light-eyes coat that was several seasons out of fashion. Adolin would have shaken his head at that. The city lord wore a wooden foot on his right leg and had lost weight since Kaladin had last seen him. His skin drooped on his figure like melted wax, bunching up at his neck. That said, Rishon had the same imperious bearing, the same angry expression. His light yellow eyes seemed to blame everyone and everything in this insignificant town for his banishment. He'd once lived in Kolinar, but had been involved in the deaths of some citizens, Moash's grandparents, and had been shipped out here as punishment. He turned toward Kaladin, lit by candles on the wall.
"So, you're alive. They didn't teach you to keep yourself in the army, I see. Let me have a look at those brands of yours."
He reached over and held up the hair in front of Kaladin's forehead.
"Storms, boy. What did you do? Hit a light eyes?"
"Yes," Kaladin said. Then punched him. He bashed Rishon right in the face. A solid hit, exactly like Hav had taught him. Thumb outside of his fist, he connected with the first two knuckles of his hand across Rishon's cheekbone, then followed through to slide across the front of the face. Rarely had he delivered such a perfect punch. It barely even hurt his fist. Rishon dropped like a felled tree.
"That," Kaladin said, "was for my friend Moash."
7. A Watcher at the Rim. I did not die. I experienced something worse. From Oathbringer, Preface.
"Kaladin!"
Laren exclaimed, grabbing him by the shoulder.
"What are you doing, son?"
Rishon sputtered on the ground, his nose bleeding.
"Guards! Take him! You hear me?"
Syl landed on Kaladin's shoulder, hands on her hips. She tapped her foot.
"He probably deserved that."
The dark-eyed guard scrambled to help Rishon to his feet while the captain leveled his sword at Kaladin. A third joined them, running in from another room. Kaladin stepped one foot back, falling into a guard position.
"Well?"
Rishon demanded, holding his handkerchief to his nose.
"Strike him down!"
Angerspren boiled up from the ground in pools.
"Please, no,"
Kaladin's mother cried, clinging to Lirin.
"He's just distraught. He—"
Kaladin held out a hand toward her, palm forward in a quieting motion.
"It's all right, mother. That was only payment for a little unsettled debt between Rishon and me."
He met the eyes of the guards, each in turn, and they shuffled uncertainly. Rishon blustered. Unexpectedly, Kaladin felt in complete control of the situation and, well, more than a little embarrassed. Suddenly, the perspective of it crashed down on him. Since leaving Hearthstone, Kaladin had met true evil, and Rishon hardly compared. Hadn't he sworn to protect even those he didn't like? Wasn't the whole point of what he had learned to keep him from doing things like this? He glanced at Syl, and she nodded to him. Do better. For a short time, it had been nice to just be Cal again. Fortunately, he wasn't that youth any longer. He was a new person, and for the first time in a long, long while, he was happy with that person. "Stand down, men," Kaladin said to the soldiers. "I promise not to hit your bright lord again. I apologize for that. I was momentarily distracted by our previous history." something he and I both need to forget. Tell me, what happened to the Parshmen? Did they not attack the town? The soldiers shifted, glancing toward Roshon.
I said stand down, Kaladin snapped. For storm's sake, man, you're holding that sword like you're going to chop a stump weight. And you, rust on your cap? I know Amaram recruited most of the able-bodied men in the region, but I've seen messenger boys with more battle poise than you.
The soldiers looked to one another. Then, red-faced, the light-eyed one slid his sword back into its sheath.
What are you doing? Roshon demanded. Attack him!
Right, Lord.
Sir,
the man said, eyes down.
I may not be the best soldier around, but... Well, sir, trust me on this. We should just pretend that punch never happened.
The other two soldiers nodded their heads in agreement. Roshon sized Kaladin up, dabbing at his nose, which wasn't bleeding badly.
So, they did make something out of you in the army, did they?
You have no idea. We need to talk. Is there a room here that isn't clogged full of people?
Cal, Liren said, you're speaking foolishness. Don't give orders to Bright Lord Roshon.
Kaladin pushed past the soldiers and Roshon, walking farther down the hallway.
Well, he barked, empty room?
Up the stairs, sir, one of the soldiers said. Library is empty.
Excellent,
Kaladin smiled to himself, noting the sir.
Join me up there, men.
Kaladin started toward the stairs. Unfortunately, an authoritative bearing could only take a man so far. Nobody followed, not even his parents.
I gave you people an order, Kaladin said. I'm not fond of repeating myself.
And what, Roshon said, makes you think you can order anyone around, boy?
Kaladin turned back and swept his arm before him, summoning Syl. A bright, dew-colored shard blade formed from mist into his hand. He spun the blade and rammed her down into the floor in one smooth motion. He held the grip, feeling his eyes bleed to blue. Everything grew still. Townspeople froze, gaping. Roshon's eyes bulged. Curiously, Kaladin's father just lowered his head and closed his eyes.
Any other questions? Kaladin asked.
They were gone when we went back to check on them, Bright Lord, said Arik, the short guard with the rusty helm. We'd locked the door, but the side was ripped clean open.
They didn't attack a soul? Kaladin asked.
No, Bright Lord.
Kaladin paced through the library. The room was small, but neatly organized with rows of shelves and a fine reading stand. Each book was exactly flush with the others. Either the maids were extremely meticulous, or the books were not often moved. Syl perched on one shelf, her back to a book, swinging her legs girlishly over the edge. Roshon sat on one side of the room, periodically pushing both hands along his flushed cheeks toward the back of his head in an odd nervous gesture. His nose had stopped bleeding, though he'd have a nice bruise. That was a fraction of the punishment the man deserved, but Kaladin found he had no passion for abusing Roshon. He had to be better than that.
What did the Parshmen look like? Kaladin asked of the guardsmen.
They changed, following the unusual storm? Sure did, Arik said. I peeked when I heard them break out, after the storm passed. They looked like Voidbringers, I tell you. With big bony bits jutting from their skin.
They were taller, the guard captain added. Taller than me. Easily as tall as you are, Bright Lord. With legs thick as stump weights and hands that could have strangled a white spine, I tell you.
Then why didn't they attack? Kaladin asked.
They could have easily taken the manor. Instead, they'd run off into the night. It spoke of a more disturbing goal. Perhaps Hearthstone was too small to be bothered with.
I don't suppose you tracked their direction, Kaladin said, looking toward the guards, then Roshon.
No, Bright Lord, the captain said.
Honestly, we were just worried about surviving.
Will you tell the king? Arik asked. That storm ripped away 4 of our silos. We'll be starving afore too long, with all these refugees and no food. When the high storms start coming again, we won't have half as many homes as we need.
I'll tell Elokar. But Stormfather, the rest of the kingdom would be just as bad. He needed to focus on the Voidbringers. He couldn't report back to Dalinar until he had the Stormlight to fly home, so for now it seemed his most useful task would be to find out where the enemy was gathering, if he could. What were the Voidbringers planning? Kaladin hadn't experienced their strange powers himself, though he'd heard reports of the Battle of Narok. Varshendi, with glowing eyes and lightning at their command, ruthless and terrible. "I'll need maps," he said. "Maps of Elethkar, as detailed as you have, and some way to carry them through the rain without ruining them." He grimaced. "And a horse. Several of them. The finest you have."
"So, you're robbing me now?" Rishon asked softly, staring at the floor.
"Robbing?" Kaladin said. "We'll call it renting instead." He pulled a handful of spheres from his pocket and dropped them on the table. He glanced toward the soldiers.
"Well, maps? Surely Rishon keeps survey maps of the nearby areas."
Rishon was not important enough to have stewardship over any of the High Prince's lands, a distinction Kaladin had never realized while he lived in Hearthstone. Those lands would be watched over by much more important light eyes. Rishon would only be a first point of contact with surrounding villages.
"We'll want to wait for the lady's permission," the guard captain said.
"Sir?" Kaladin raised an eyebrow. They'd disobey Rishon for him, but not the manor's lady?
"Go to the Hus Ardens and tell them to prepare the things I request. Permission will be forthcoming. And locate a spanreed connected to Tashik, if any of the Ardens have one. Once I have the Stormlight to use it, I want to send word to Dalinar."
The guards saluted and left. Kaladin folded his arms.
"Rishon, I'm going to need to chase those Parshmen and see if I can figure out what they're up to. I don't suppose any of your guards have tracking experience? Following the creatures would be hard enough without the rain swamping everything."
"Why do they matter so much?"
Rishon asked, still staring at the floor.
"Surely you've guessed," Kaladin said, nodding to Syl as her ribbon of light flitted over to his shoulder.
"Weather in turmoil and terrors transformed from common servants? That storm with the red lightning blowing the wrong direction?
The desolation is here, Rishon. The Voidbringers have returned."
Rishon groaned, leaning forward, arms wrapped around himself as if he were going to be sick.
"Syl," Kaladin whispered, "I might need you again."
"You sound apologetic," she replied, cocking her head.
"I am. I don't like the idea of swinging you about, smashing you into things."
She sniffed.
"Firstly, I don't smash into things. I am an elegant and graceful weapon, stupid. Secondly, why would you be bothered?"
"It doesn't feel right," Kaladin replied, still whispering. "You're a woman, not a weapon."
"Wait, so this is about me being a girl?"
"No," Kaladin said immediately, then hesitated.
Maybe.
"It just feels strange."
She sniffed.
"You don't ask your other weapons how they feel about being swung about."
"My other weapons aren't people," he hesitated.
"Are they?"
She looked at him with head cocked and eyebrows raised as if he'd said something very stupid.
"Everything has a spren." His mother had taught him that from an early age.
"So, some of my spears have been women, then?" he asked. "Female, at least," Syl said. "Roughly half, as these things tend to go."
She flitted up into the air in front of him.
"It's your fault for personifying us, so no complaining. Of course, some of the old spren have 4 genders instead of 2.
"What? Why?"
She poked him in the nose.
"Because humans didn't imagine those ones, silly."
She zipped out in front of him, changing into a field of mist. When he raised his hand, the shard blade appeared. He strode to where Rishon sat, then stooped down and held the shard blade before the man, point toward the floor. Rishon looked up, transfixed by the weapon's blade, as Kaladin had anticipated. You couldn't be near one of these things and not be drawn by it. They had a magnetism.
"How did you get it?" Rishon asked.
"Does it matter?" He didn't reply, but they both knew the truth. Owning a shard blade was enough. If you could claim it and not have it taken from you, it was yours. With one in his possession, the brands on his head were meaningless. No man, not even Rishon, would imply otherwise.
"You," Kaladin said, "are a cheat, a rat, and a murderer. But as much as I hate it, we don't have time to oust Alethkar's ruling class and set up something better. We are under attack by an enemy we do not understand, and which we could not have anticipated. So you're going to have to stand up and lead these people."
Rishon stared at the blade, looking at his reflection.
"We're not powerless," Kaladin said. "We can and will fight back. But first, we need to survive. The Everstorm will return. Regularly, though I don't know the interval yet. I need you to prepare."
"How?" Rishon whispered. "Build homes with slopes in both directions. If there's not time for that, find a sheltered location and hunker down. I can't stay. This crisis is bigger than one town, one people, even if it's my town and my people. I have to rely on you. Almighty preserve us, you're all we have."
Rishon slumped down farther in his seat.
"Great."
Kaladin stood and dismissed Syl.
"We'll do it,"
a voice said from behind him. Kaladin froze. Laurel's voice sent a shiver down his spine. He turned slowly and found a woman who did not at all match the image in his head. When he'd last seen her, she'd been wearing a perfect light-eyed dress, beautiful and young. Yet her pale green eyes had seemed hollow. She'd lost her betrothed, Rishon's son, and had instead become engaged to the father, a man more than twice her age. The woman he confronted was no longer a youth. Her face was firm, lean, and her hair was pulled back in a no-nonsense tail of black peppered with blonde. She wore boots and a utilitarian hava, damp from the rain. She looked him up and down, then sniffed.
"Looks like you went and grew up, Cal. I was sorry to hear the news of your brother. Come now. You need a span reed? I've got one to the Queen Regent in Kolinar, but that one hasn't been responsive lately. Fortunately, we do have one to Tashik, as you asked about. If you think that the king will respond to you, we can go through an intermediary."
She walked back out the doorway.
"Laurel," he said, following. "I hear you stabbed my floor," she noted. "That's good hardwood, I'll have you know. Honestly, men and their weapons."
"I dreamed of coming back," Kaladin said, stopping in the hallway outside the library. "I imagined returning here a war hero and challenging Rishon. I wanted to save you, Laurel."
"Oh?"
She turned back to him.
"And what made you think I needed saving?"
"You can't tell me," Kaladin said softly, waving backward toward the library, "that you've been happy with that."
"Becoming a light eyes does not grant a man any measure of decorum, it appears," Laurel said. "You will stop insulting my husband, Kaladin. Shardbearer or not, another word like that, and I'll have you thrown from my home."
"Laurel,
I am quite happy here. Or I was until the winds started blowing the wrong direction."
She shook her head.
"You take after your father. Always feeling like you need to save everyone, even those who would rather you mind your own business. Rishon brutalized my family. He sent my brother to his death and did everything he could to destroy my father." "And your father spoke against my husband," Laurel said, "disparaging him in front of the other townspeople. How would you feel, as a new bright lord exiled far from home, only to find that the town's most important citizen is openly critical of you?"
Her perspective was skewed, of course. Lyran had tried to befriend Rishon at first, hadn't he? Still, Kaladin found little passion to continue the argument. What did he care? He intended to see his parents move from the city anyway.
"I'll go set up the span read," she said. "It might take some time to get a reply. In the meantime, the Ardents should be fetching your maps."
"Great," Kaladin said, pushing past her in the hallway. "I'm going to go speak with my parents." Syl zipped over his shoulder as he started down the steps.
"So that's the girl you were going to marry?"
"No," Kaladin whispered. "That's a girl I was never going to marry, no matter what happened."
"I like her."
"You would." He reached the bottom of the steps and looked back up. Rishon had joined Laro at the top of the stairs, carrying the gems Kaladin had left on the table. How much had that been? 5 or 6 ruby bromes, he thought, and maybe a sapphire or two. He did the calculations in his head. Storms. That was a ridiculous sum. More money than the goblet full of spheres that Rishon and Kaladin's father had spent years fighting over back in the day. That was now mere pocket change to Kaladin. He'd always thought of all Light Eyes as rich, but a minor Bright Lord in an insignificant town? Well, Rishon was actually poor. Just a different kind of poor. Kaladin searched back through the house, passing people he'd once known, people who now whispered Shardbearer and got out of his way with alacrity. So be it. He'd accepted his place the moment he'd seized Syl from the air and spoken the words. Lyran was back in the parlor working on the wounded again. Kaladin stopped in the doorway, then sighed and knelt beside Lyran. As the man reached toward his tray of tools, Kaladin picked it up and held it at the ready. His old position as his father's surgery assistant. The new apprentice was helping with wounded in another room. Lyran eyed Kaladin, then turned back to the patient, a young boy who had a bloodied bandage around his arm.
"Scissors,"
Lyran said. Kaladin proffered them, and Lyran took the tool without looking, then carefully cut the bandage free. A jagged length of wood had speared the boy's arm. He whimpered as Lyran palpated the flesh nearby, covered in dried blood. It didn't look good. "Cut out the shaft," Kaladin said, "and the necrotic flesh. Cauterize."
"A little extreme, don't you think?" Lyran asked.
"Might want to remove it at the elbow anyway. That's going to get infected for sure. Look how dirty that wood is. It will leave splinters." The boy whimpered again. Lyran patted him.
"You'll be fine. I don't see any rot spren yet, and so we're not going to take the arm off. Let me talk to your parents. For now, chew on this."
He gave the boy some bark as a relaxant. Together, Lyran and Kaladin moved on. The boy wasn't in immediate danger, and Lyran would want to operate after the anesthetic took effect.
"You've hardened,"
Lyran said to Kaladin as he inspected the next patient's foot.
"I was worried you'd never grow calluses."
Kaladin didn't reply. In truth, his calluses weren't as deep as his father might have wanted.
"But you've also become one of them,"
Lyran said.
"My eye color doesn't change a thing." "I wasn't speaking of your eye color, son. I don't give two chips whether a man is light-eyed or not."
He waved a hand, and Kaladin passed him a rag to clean the toe, then started preparing a small splint.
"What you've become," Lyran continued, "is a killer. You solve problems with the fist and the sword. I had hoped that you would find a place among the army's surgeons."
"I wasn't given much choice," Kaladin said, handing over the splint, then preparing some bandages to wrap the toe. "It's a long story. I'll tell you sometime. The less soul-crushing parts of it, at least."
"I don't suppose you're going to stay."
"No. I need to follow those parchmen."
"More killing, then."
"And you honestly think we shouldn't fight the Voidbringers, father?" Liren hesitated.
No, he whispered. I know that war is inevitable. I just didn't want you to have to be a part of it. I've seen what it does to men. War flays their souls, and those are wounds I can't heal.
He secured the splint, then turned to Kaladin.
We're surgeons. Let others rend and break. We must not harm others.
No, Kaladin said. You're a surgeon, Father, but I'm something else. A watcher at the rim. Words spoken to Dalinar Kholin in a vision. Kaladin stood up. I will protect those who need it. Today that means hunting down some Voidbringers. Liren looked away.
Very well. I am glad you returned, son. I'm glad you're safe.
Kaladin rested his hand on his father's shoulder.
Life before death, Father.
See your mother before you leave, Liren said. She has something to show you.
Kaladin frowned, but made his way out of the healing chamber to the kitchens. The entire place was lit only by candles, and not many of them. Everywhere he went, he saw shadows and uncertain light. He filled his canteen with fresh water and found a small umbrella. He'd need that for reading maps in this rain. From there, he went hiking up to check on Laurel in the library. Rishon had retreated to his room, but she was sitting at a writing table with a span reed before her.
Wait. The span reed was working? Its ruby glowed.
Stormlight, Kaladin said, pointing.
Well, of course, she said, frowning at him. Fabrials require it.
How do you have infused spheres?
The high storm, Laurel said, just a few days back.
During the clash with the Voidbringers, the Stormfather had summoned an irregular high storm to match the Everstorm. Kaladin had flown before its storm wall, fighting the assassin in white.
That storm was unexpected, Kaladin said.
How in the world did you know to leave your spheres out?
Cal, she said, it's not so hard to hang some spheres out once a storm starts blowing.
How many do you have?
Some, Laurel said. The Ardents have a few. I wasn't the only one to think of it. Look, I've got someone in Tashik willing to relay a message to Navani Kholin, the king's mother. Wasn't that what you implied you wanted? You really think she'll respond to you?
The answer, blessedly, came as the span reed started writing.
Captain, Laurel read, this is Navani Kholin. Is it really you?
Laurel blinked, then looked up at him.
It is, Kaladin said. The last thing I did before leaving was speak with Dalinar at the top of the tower.
Hopefully that would be enough to authenticate him. Laurel jumped, then wrote it.
Kaladin, this is Dalinar,
Laurel read as the message came back. What is your status, soldier?
Better than expected, sir, Kaladin said.
He outlined what he'd discovered in brief. He ended by noting, I'm worried that they left because Hearthstone wasn't important enough to bother destroying. I've ordered horses and some maps. I figure I can do a little scouting and see what I can find about the enemy.
Careful, Dalinar responded. You don't have any stormlight left?
I might be able to find a little. I doubt it will be enough to get me home, but it will help.
It took a few minutes before Dalinar replied, and Laurel took the opportunity to change the paper on the span reed board.
Your instincts are good, Captain, Dalinar finally sent. I feel blind in this tower. Get close enough to discover what the enemy is doing, but don't take unnecessary risks. Take the span reed. Send us a glyph each evening to know you are safe.
Understood, sir. Life before death.
Life before death.
Laurel looked to him, and he nodded that the conversation was over. She packed up the span reed for him without a word, and he took it gratefully, then hurried out of the room and down the steps. His activities had drawn quite a crowd of people,
who had gathered in the small entry hall before the steps. He intended to ask if anyone had infused spheres, but was interrupted by the sight of his mother. She was speaking with several young girls, and held a toddler in her arms. What was she doing with... Kaladin stopped at the foot of the steps. The little boy was perhaps a year old, chewing on his hand and babbling around his fingers.
"Kaladin, meet your brother," Hesina said, turning toward him. "Some of the girls were watching him while I helped with the triage."
"A brother," Kaladin whispered. It had never occurred to him. His mother would be 41 this year, and... a brother. Kaladin reached out. His mother let him take the little boy, hold him in hands that seemed too rough to be touching such soft skin. Kaladin trembled, then pulled the child tight against him. Memories of this place had not broken him, and seeing his parents had not overwhelmed him. But this... he could not stop the tears. He felt like a fool. It wasn't as if this changed anything. Bridge Four were his brothers now, as close to him as any blood relative. And yet he wept. "What's his name?"
"Oradin."
"Child of Peace," Kaladin whispered. "A good name. A very good name." Behind him, an Ardent approached with a scroll case. Storms, was that Zeheb? Still alive, it seemed, though she'd always seemed older than the stones themselves. Kaladin handed little Oradin back to his mother, then wiped his eyes and took the scroll case. People crowded at the edges of the room. He was quite the spectacle. The surgeon's son turned slave turned shard-bearer. Hearthstone wouldn't see this much excitement for another 100 years. At least not if Kaladin had any say about it. He nodded to his father, who had stepped out of the parlor room, then turned to the crowd. "Does anyone here have infused spheres? I will trade you 2 chips for 1. Bring them forth." Syl buzzed around him as a collection was made, and Kaladin's mother made the trades for him. What he ended up with was only a pouch's worth, but it seemed vast riches. At the very least, he wasn't going to need those horses any longer. He tied the pouch closed, then looked over his shoulder as his father stepped up. Liren took a small glowing diamond chip from his pocket, then handed it toward Kaladin. Kaladin accepted it, then glanced at his mother and the little boy in her arms. His brother. "I want to take you to safety," he said to Liren. "I need to leave now, but I'll be back soon. To take you to..."
"No," Liren said.
"Father, it's the desolation," Kaladin said. Nearby, people gasped softly, their eyes haunted. Storms, Kaladin should have done this in private. He leaned in toward Liren. "I know of a place that is safe. For you, Mother, for little Oradin. Please don't be stubborn, for once in your life."
"You can take them, if they'll go," Liren said. "But I'm staying here. Particularly if... what you just said is true. These people will need me."
"We'll see. I'll return as soon as I can." Kaladin set his jaw, then walked to the front door of the manor. He pulled it open, letting in the sounds of rain, the scents of a drowned land. He paused, looked back at the room full of dirtied townspeople, homeless and frightened. They'd overheard him, but they'd known already. He'd heard them whispering, Voidbringers, the desolation. He couldn't leave them like this.
"You heard correctly," Kaladin said loudly to the 100 or so people gathered in the manor's large entry hall, including Rishon and Laurel, who stood on the steps up to the second floor. "The Voidbringers have returned."
Murmurs, fright. Kaladin sucked in some of the stormlight from his pouch. Pure, luminescent smoke began to rise from his skin, distinctly visible in the dim room. He lashed himself upward so he rose into the air, then added a lashing downward, leaving him to hover about 2 feet above the floor, glowing.
Syl formed from mist as a shard spear in his hand. High Prince Dalinar Kolin, Kaladin said, stormlight puffing before his lips, has refounded the Knights Radiant, and this time we will not fail you. The expressions in the room ranged from adoring to terrified. Kaladin found his father's face. Lirin's jaw had dropped. Hesina clutched her infant child in her arms, and her expression was one of pure delight, an awespren bursting around her head in a blue ring. You I will protect, little one, Kaladin thought at the child. I will protect them all. He nodded to his parents, then turned and lashed himself outward, streaking away into the rain-soaked night. He'd stop at Stringken, about half a day's walk, or a short flight, to the south, and see if he could trade spheres there. Then he'd hunt some Voidbringers.
8. A powerful lie. That moment notwithstanding, I can honestly say this book has been brewing in me since my youth. From Oathbringer, Preface. Shallan drew. She scraped her drawing pad with agitated, bold streaks. She twisted the charcoal stick in her fingers every few lines, seeking the sharpest points to make the lines a deep black. Pattern said from near her calves, where he adorned her skirt like embroidery. Shallan. She kept drawing, filling the page with black strokes. Shallan, Pattern asked. I understand why you hate me, Shallan. I did not mean to help you kill your mother, but it is what I did. It is what I did. Shallan set her jaw and kept sketching. She sat outside at Urethiru, her back against a cold chunk of stone, her toes frigid, cold spren growing up like spikes around her. Her frazzled hair whipped past her face in a gust of air, and she had to pin the paper of her pad down with her thumbs, one trapped in her left sleeve.